Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. Every Wednesday we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today we have a special guest, Pastor Gary Nebaker of Coram Deo Church, talking about spiritual dryness.
Let me begin with a story. My dad was a godly man who loved the Lord and was gloriously saved at age 47. But about a year into his conversion, he was going around to the different saints in his little Plymouth Brethren assembly saying, "I don't feel the presence of the Lord like I used to. He just seems distant to me." And a lot of the dear saints in that church attempted to help my dad, but my dad never really had an explanation. He said, "I used to feel the Lord's presence. I used to enjoy the study of the scriptures, but now I don't sense much of the Lord's presence." And so he never quite got that question resolved. I remember in 1988, and this was about 10 years after my dad had talked about spiritual, just not sensing God's presence. I was going through Elwell's Dictionary of Evangelical Theology, and I was looking up something, and I ran across this article on the dark night of the soul. And we have this article before us here as conversation partners in this podcast. But I was so excited about this that I made a cassette tape for my dad, who by now was a missionary in Italy. And back in those days, we used cassette tapes to communicate.
That dates you a little bit.
It does. Let's just say it was in the 80s sometime. But I read this this little article that we have in front of us here to my dad, and he said, "That's it, Gary. That's exactly what I've been experiencing, spiritual dryness." And I didn't know that it was a common condition among many of the Lord's people. Oftentimes when we go through these periods, well-meaning saints can say something like, "Well, you need to pray more," or, you know, "Is there sin in your life?" Or easy explanations are given for why the Lord seems so distant. But there's a vast testimony of the Lord's people who've gone before us who say, "Yeah, I have gone through these seasons of my life where the Lord just seems like he's checked out, and I can't detect any sin on my part. What's up with that?" There's a little ditty that we use in the evangelical church. It goes like this: "Feeling distant from God lately? Someone moved, and it wasn't God." Now, the ditty has some merit, and there's some wisdom and truth to it. You know, we may be going through times where we feel the Lord distant because there is sin in our life. And I think pastorally we dealt with a situation like this about a year ago, where someone was feeling out of sorts and they couldn't quite put their finger on it, but then other things came to light. So yeah, sin in our heart, unconfessed sin or undetected sin or sin that's been buried can certainly be a cause for spiritual dryness. But there are those instances where, as best as we can tell, we're close to Jesus, but he doesn't seem to be close to us. We're following through the disciplines, but we're not sensing his nearness.
So, Gary, give us some language for that, because here's where I wrestle. By the Spirit, I am in union with Christ. He's given me his word. He's given me sacraments. He's given me means of grace, community. Why would the Lord, if I'm leaning into those faithfully, why would the Lord hide himself? Why would the Lord seem to be playing coy, mm-hmm. if we want to put it that way?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Chris. The best answer that I can come up with on this one is that like the sweet old man down the street who has a pocket full of candy that he gives to little kids. He loves to give these things to his children. But as these kids get older, they don't need that to be assured of his love. And what it seems, what seems to be going on with dark night type things and dryness type things is that the Lord withdraws his felt presence to take his people to deeper levels of trust, so that we're not getting the buzz, the consolation that we used to. And this kind of can be likened, and St. John of the Cross does a great job of this. A young infant that's nursing at his mother's breast. But there comes a point for that child's growth that that has to stop, and he has to learn to crawl and learn to walk. And he misses that warmth, that nurture, that consolation. So I realize that a lot of that is very experiential in nature, but it's a kind of a story that repeats itself through many of the Lord's people, both within Protestant as well as Catholic tradition, Eastern Orthodoxy as well. So that's my answer, is that God withdraws his felt presence, not his real presence, but his felt presence, to take us to deeper levels of trust, so that we're not trusting the Lord anymore for what we get out of him or what we feel from him, but will we trust him when he withdraws him, his felt presence?
So it's, our hope is not in the feeling of consolation. Our hope is actually in the Lord himself. And so spiritual dryness could help us put, kind of get us in tune with, hey, maybe what I was putting my hope in was this feeling more than the Lord himself.
Yeah.
And so will I continue to pursue the Lord in word, in prayer, in, you know, community, all those means of grace, even if I'm not feeling what I want to feel? Am I chasing the Lord, or am I chasing a feeling?
Yes, yes. Maybe, Bob, here it's appropriate to tell my other little story. I think latent within God's people sometimes is a self-serving agenda from following Jesus. Sometimes I've experienced this in the care of souls, that somebody coming out of an addictive lifestyle will suddenly get a great buzz from Jesus.
Time for addicted to Jesus again? Huh?
No.
Come on? No, okay.
No.
And it's like, man, give me some of that Epistle of Hebrews. Man, it's good stuff. Man, Calvin's Institute. Thomas Merton. Mm-hmm.
Gary, when you did this the other day, you made like the taking a big puff of something sound.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Man.
But that happens, where latent in the human, the fallen human condition, we seek God because of what he does for us emotionally. And so a deepened level of trust, I think, is what happens sometimes in spiritual dryness, is God is taking us to a deeper, deeper place where we're trusting him less on what we get from him. And will we trust him when he doesn't allow his presence to be felt? Now, in the extensive literature of Christian spirituality, one of the things that's so cool is that for those who persist, those dark seasons eventually pass and new and deeper levels of consolation occur. And those seasons can be short. You know, I don't know about you guys, but within the span of a day, I can feel God's consolations and desolations. All it takes is a little bad news, and I'm in the slough of despair. And then there can be another moment where I'm just wonderfully experiencing the closeness of the Lord. I sense he is right beside me. But life can be like that as well, where there can be just seasons where the Lord just, I don't know why, but he seems to have checked out.
So there you're talking about how
God might be taking me deeper in my faith. You also shared with us in the spiritual theology book, Jordan Ammon's quote here. He says there's maybe even more reasons why I would be experiencing dryness, and one of those would be my own personal realities. So I'm going to read this for us because I think it's pretty helpful. It's a little bit of a longer quote. Stick with me. Dryness in prayer may be caused by the individual, by God, or by the devil. But those who actually experience dryness should first suspect that they themselves are the cause. Among the internal and involuntary causes of dryness are bad health, bodily fatigue, excessive activity, or absorbing duties, vehement and prolonged temptations that exhaust one's powers, improper training in the practice of prayer, methods of prayer unsuited to the individual. Sometimes, however, dryness is the natural result of one's own imperfections, lukewarmness in the service of God, infidelity to grace, habitual sin, habits of sensuality, vain curiosity, instability and superficiality, excessive activism. So that's a pretty exhaustive list of some things that might be going on in one's soul that wouldn't necessarily be God taking me deeper, but maybe my own issues or imperfections. Gary, can you expound a little bit on some of those categories and talk a little bit about the individual's responsibility in dryness?
One of the cool things about working here at Coram Deo is I got some elder brothers who can help me sort out my stuff. And we need brothers and sisters to ask good questions. Because some of this stuff can be latent and we're just not aware, you know. And so stimulating one another to love and good deeds, asking lots of great questions. Yeah, I mean, each of those that you mentioned, we could, you know, expound on extensively. But just, you know, having a brother to say, you know, like you did the other day when I told you about my shame incident, it helped me. It unlocked some things for me about some potential and real sin patterns in my soul. So is that?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that author's saying we should sort of first suspect ourselves and do the internal work of, is there something going on in me? And he gives that big long list there, Dusty. But it sounds like you're saying, Gary, once I've done that work, and as you describe your father, right? You said, to his knowledge, there was no unconfessed sin or anything he was sort of aware of in him, but rather he just felt like, I just don't sense God in the way that I used to. So almost maybe two categories here. One is the introspective self-critique of, is there unconfessed sin? Is there excessive activism? Whatever this whole list of stuff is, Dusty. But then, assuming that's not the case, there really is, what you're saying, Gary, is there really is an experience among Christians of this God sort of removing his presence, or the experience of his presence, the sort of felt sense of his presence.
Yes. Those two distinctions need to be made.
So that raises an interesting point too, in the sense that if it's the second one where we've sort of taken stock and there's not an awareness of sin, there still is God drawing us deeper into something. And so there's a sense where something's going on in our souls we're not aware of. So if the Lord is wanting us a deeper sense of trust, then maybe, you know, there's do you call that sin, that my trust needs to go deeper? Or maybe I have gotten a little too cozy with the feeling rather than the Lord himself, and I'm just not aware of that. Is there a sense of we just aren't aware of certain things going on in our soul, and so it might not be necessarily the level of conscious sin that the Lord is working on kind of deeper?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm inclined to answer it by saying these are developmental issues of where we are in our maturity in Christ. And just by virtue of life and experiences, some things just force us to deeper levels of trust. And goodness, there's stuff in my late 50s that I'm seeing that I don't think I could have in my 30s. So I think it's part of it is a understanding where we are in our maturity, which always, I think, involves sin to some degree, but it can be more issues of maturity than sin.
I'm just thinking of, I mean, it's a hypothetical situation where a guy comes to me and is like, hey, I'm feeling spiritually dry, kind of do the assessment, no sin, and then kind of raising some categories of, you know, things that he might not be aware of. And so I wonder, here's the other angle of this is we're counseling people too, that there seems to be, like this push for why. And if I can't figure out the why, then that sort of throws me off my game. And so is there ever a point where we kind of push people past the why? If it's not obvious that there's sin and we're kind of on this other category, do we just sort of say, you know, less focus on the why and focus more on what is the Lord still calling you to do? I don't know. That's just some kind of a thought that just came to my mind too.
I love that. And I'll be preaching from that scripture in 1 Peter where it says to do good while we're suffering. This is certainly true in spiritual dryness as well. We may not sense the Lord's nearness, but we do have a call and we have a life of discipleship that we wish to fulfill out of obedience. So I think part of what has to happen is becoming less self-centered in this dry time and being other-centered in the midst of spiritual dryness. There's this great quote from Lloyd-Jones in his book, Spiritual Depression, where he says, you need to stop looking at yourself way too much. And yes, the realities of emotional psychological pain are real, but can you be other-centered in the midst of that? And that's discipleship at its best, being other-centered when we're kind of feeling distant from the Lord and we don't know why. I would say this too, and this is important for God's people to understand. I've experienced this as a spiritual director sometimes where the Lord's people won't let you know they're going through spiritual dryness. Yeah, I'm good. Everything's fine. Praise Jesus. And it really isn't going well. And I think there's a sense where we want to just be honest with the Lord first and foremost, and honest with our brothers and sisters is, feeling kind of dry today or feeling dry this week. That would be good. That would be good. But there's some sort of unwritten rule. I don't know where it comes, but you're never supposed to feel dry. Because I've got that joy down in.
Where?
Huh? So, yeah. I think we get glimpses of this perhaps in some of the Psalms. Where the Lord seems distant in some of the Psalms, psalmist laments, but
what's your concern, Gary? In why is this a topic of interest to you? Is it essentially just to say to people, hey, this is a category you need to have in your sort of spiritual experience?
Yeah.
So that they can then recognize, okay, it's not a crisis if yes. I'm feeling spiritually dry.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you something. When I was a professor at Grace, this happened to students all the time, and they thought they were apostatizing. I know a couple of guys that just said, when I went to Bible college, I thought I was going to get more deeply in love with Jesus, and I got really distant from him. I guess Christianity isn't real. You know, it's a huge non sequitur, obviously, but I think there's a fair portion of the Lord's people who think, like, if I'm not feeling the Lord's closeness, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe Christianity isn't real. Maybe I've been duped all along. And so that's one reason why it's important for me. Another reason is I think a part of what spiritual maturity looks like is allowing for those categories to be a part of our reality. It's just there are going to be times where the Lord doesn't feel close. And the exciting thing is there is there is ample testimony in the spiritual life literature that this happens to godly people. This happened. This is normative Christian spirituality, that there are just going to be times where the Lord seems distant, and we can't discern the reasons why. So, yeah. And you know, I don't think a lot of people have that category. Let me offer this as maybe some spiritual medicine. Sometimes when we're in dryness, the best thing we can do is just show up.
Yeah, what do you mean? Keep going.
Well, we're going to have a little talk with Jesus, and we sit down, we open the scriptures, and we don't hear a thing. But the fact that we showed up means a lot to the Lord, even if we don't get much out of it. And so maybe what Christian maturity looks like is just, I'm going to show up. And maybe what I need to do is just sit here. And if the Lord wants to show up in His Word, that's great. But if He doesn't, that's great too. So just the idea of keeping on, keeping on. Because the alternatives are, hey, this is boring. Prayer is boring. Oh, even the Lord seems boring. I'm going to go do something else. But, you know, just being faithful and being present to the Lord in those dry times, I think, can be some of the most thoroughly transformative seasons of our life.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. If you have questions about spiritual dryness that you want to ask Dr. Gary Nebaker, please shoot them to us, podcast@cdomaha.com. And we hope that you join us next week for another Wednesday conversation.